I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Close your eyes and open your ears. You are now listening to Gamertag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Posta. Come on.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 495. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey. And this week we have also Poston J. What's up?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Hype.
I'm pretty hyped, too.
A couple of beers lately today.
I've been rocking the green tea, so that's why I have the energy. Jitters, but like you have to get a manager to be like, no, it's just caffeine. Let it control you, man.
Okay. And also we have the Destiny professional himself, Pete Rock. Pete, what's up?
What's up?
He's on mute.
Oh, got him. Didn't unmute. Yeah.
He's a professional on Destiny, but he sucks on Skype.
I have defeated Atheon. I've defeated Crota. I've got three characters over 30.
Congratulations.
Do you want a cookie with your lame level 23?
I can't even remember.
What character was it? Was it a Titan?
I don't even remember.
That game
is digitally collecting dust right now.
I like that. The pixels are starting to corrode.
I know,
such
right?
A scrub.
That my hard drive is pushing it to the side.
Finished games talk, but you haven't finished Destiny.
Do I really need to finish it?
It's unending. He's not missing anything other than experiences.
I finished Forza Horizon 2, Ori, The Witcher, Sunset Overdrive. I finished Halo 2, the anniversary collection.
I don't know. Pete, I give him the pass because he's beat The Witcher 3, and none of us have done that.
On easy.
Him.
I don't even want to hear it.
Nope. Who say?
He was on normal. Give the man some credit. If you don't try to emasculate him.
Normal, not on hard.
I'm playing on hard. Pierce is playing on hard. Pete, I assume you're playing on hard too.
No, normal.
No,
okay, normal.
But I know you play in a family. Things get in the way. Danny, I'm proud of you personally for putting the drive in, finishing The Witcher. I just now got back in with patch 1.07, and again, I'm impressed by how much they have been updating this game because they keep adding new stuff and free DLC. It's a damn good reason to keep playing.
Yeah, and see, like I was telling Pete before we record, yo, we're in the same level you guys, man. We still get updates, man, on time.
I mean, that look is pretty, but it works.
How dare you say that consoles are on the same level as PC? I will fight you. I don't care if we're best friends or whatever. I will fight you.
But I'll tell you this, Pete. I bet you consoles has been selling more. The console version has been selling more than the PC.
PlayStation 4, for sure, but not Xbox.
Dude, I'm saying consoles. I'm not saying PlayStation or Xbox. Consoles.
Yeah. Been remember a couple more than weeks PC. Ago, what was the news about the top sellers? It was PlayStation, then PC, then the lowly scrub lord Microsoft Xbox One.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right. Hate to hit you with the facts there, bro.
Oh, my God. It's all good. No, but seriously, we have a lot of things to talk about this week. We have a lot of questions too. A lot of fan mail. Props to the listeners, man, for sending the questions to us, man. Very excited about that, man. So, and very quick, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes and post your comments and feedback, man. Share it with your friends, and if you have the new Spotify update, which I think is still in beta. You could download it right now and follow us. Follow us there. Let us know that you're listening through the Spotify app. If not, it's cool. You could go to Stitcher or iTunes, TuneIn Radio. There's other places that we're at. We're everywhere, so subscribe. Give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. By the way, this week, I'm flying to Texas. This is going to be a big week for me. I've been waiting for this for a very long time, ever since I heard the news about this. Pete, Possen, I'm going to go and over there meet up with a bunch of podcasters. And I'm getting inducted to the Podcast Hall of Fame this week. I'm very, very excited about this. And at the same time, I'm dying like to meet not only the old podcasters, but the new podcasters that are doing their thing too in the community. And it's going to be fun. Lots of fun. The podcast movement, Fort Worth. First time I'm going to be hanging out in Texas with Andrew from the show Radio. Going to be there for a couple of days, man. And man, I'm going to be there on stage with Leo Laporte, Adam Curry, bunch of like podcast legends, man. I'm very, very excited about that, man. Definitely will give you guys a shout out. I have my speech there ready. And hopefully we'll play it on next week's episode.
Yeah, we should.
But we'll yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to not only you guys, but also the old crew and everything, man. I'm very, very, very excited about this, man.
I know you have a good time, man.
Anything else, guys, before we go to the official news?
Nah, let's do it.
Ball rolling.
All right. So we have a couple of news here, man. First, pause it. I know you're a huge fighting guy, man. You love Street Fighter.
I do.
Killer Instinct.
My thing.
Marvel versus Capcom, right?
They're all fun. May not be good at all of them, but I enjoy the competition, and it's, I think, overall my favorite competitive game to watch, honestly, just because it's easy to understand the mechanics. You can see the skill. It's two players, heat of the moment, and crazy stuff always happens when cameras are rolling.
Yeah, but let's talk about EVO, because this is the thing that it happened a couple of days ago in Vegas. This happens every year. EVO 2015, huge, huge crowd. For those that don't know it, they have like a lot of tournaments there, not only just Street Fighter, but they have announcements there. They show Killer Instinct, Marvel vs. Capcom, every fighting game you can think of.
Everything across the board. It's kind of the ultimate mecca, if you will. If you play it and you're good at it, you're probably going to come here to prove you are.
Yep. So it mentioned, I'm going to play the audio in a few minutes. This was from ESPN Sports Center, which is hilarious that they show this video. I was dying. But explain to the listeners what exactly happened. This is one of those like crazy, wild moments that happened during the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, this is a classic evolution moment. You have these that are legendary, and this is another one for the Pantheon. It's a little bit set up on this. It's two Japanese players. They're playing the new Guilty Gear Zerd Sign, which is on PlayStation 4. It's the new HD, really nice, cool 2D, fast-paced Guilty Gear. But it was two players, Ogawa and Moshigi, were playing in the tournament. And basically what went down was Moshigi was getting beat down by Ogawa, and Moshigi essentially scored like a really amazing come from behind like win in like the last second, one of those amazing reversals where one person throws out the super, he threw out his counter super, he knocked it out, he won the round. He goes ballistic at this. He stands up, throws his fist in the air, gets all excited that he just like had an ultimate comeback moment, and then he has that oh wait moment, because the announcers are like, oh wait, why is he standing? His opponent, it's only the third round. They've each won one. They're still a third round. He thought he won. He was wrong. And his opponent gave him no mercy. He was standing up. His opponent's like, well, your call. Does a perfect combo on him. Ends him with a perfect. And then he stands up, puts his fist in the air, and everybody celebrates him. The other guy goes back, buries his head into his arcade stick, and just starts to sob. Because
he was on the floor.
That's the only thing you can have. You were overcome by emotion. You listen to the audio for the context, but his hype was so infectious, I thought he had won as well. Even the announcers were like, yeah, wait, what? So play the clip. You got to have it. It's hilarious. I love this moment.
Yeah, man. I'm going to play the audio very quick from ESPN. They talked about this during
SportsCenter. It's so
Sports
cool. SportsCenter of all things.
Yeah. So I'm going to play right now, and I'm going to describe a little bit later on when he gets up right here. So.
Face little Eddie. You're always going to face little Gawa, so it's...
Wait, gets caught low again, has to burst immediately.
Full meter, though! Full meter! He's going to have to use... Oh, he can't! Nope! No burst!
So smart!
Oh, my God! Genius!
All right, this is the part that he gets up. Listen to the announcers. Listen to the announcers.
But what's he going to do? It's over!
Locked down by the
ball!
What a
shot! And then Gawa doesn't hit! He took out 65%! Standing up for?
Why?
Oh my God! Machine thought it was over and stood up, and Ogawa gave him no remorse.
Man, Patrick, that was freaking hilarious.
I mean, it's such a range of emotions. Like, I feel bad for him. I feel happy for the other guy. I feel vice versa. Like, if I was in that situation and my opponent overreacted to winning a round, I'd kind of be like, wait, did you just think you just won? Almost will let him sit back down, but no, I mean,
he was
in the heat of the moment. He was just like, if you're gonna brag, then I'm gonna show you up. I mean,
and his opponent had him at like less, like I want to say like 70-80% damaged within the finishing up of his of that first combo set when he got him up against to the right side. He just nailed it. He was like, no mercy. That's it. It's like you just slapped my kids. Bam, I'm going all in.
By the time he got his hands back in the control, he was already in dizzy state, and it was over. It was a perfect.
Yeah, there was no coming back at that point.
Nothing. Nothing you could.
That's one of those like classic moments that people are going to be talking about this for years.
Great.
Man,
that's
for years.
I love that, because that's what sets Evo apart from like every other competitive, you know, gaming tournament. I mean, League of Legends and Dota 2 have their amazing moments, don't get me wrong, and so does, you know, competitive FPS, but fighting games just have this magic to them where even if you, like, you don't understand, and most people don't understand any of the mechanics of Guilty Gear, even the ESPN Sports Center's casters admitted that, but you can see it and you can react to it. That's what makes it feel like, you know, for me, what makes it feels like an electronic sport, because you have the same hype and momentum that you have from watching a live sport.
So I have a question for you, because obviously you're like the resident, you know, fighting game guy. There was a lot of talk about people who were not doing like the handshake, like being the formal professional, like, hey, you know, have a good game. There was a lot of talk about that coming out of the weekend, and as well as, you know, the video and stuff like that. What's your take on that?
It's tough, because emotions run so high with the person sitting right next to you. Thankfully, it hardly ever comes to like extreme anger or violence. But yeah, there are that moments when like the person is just so fed up, but they just stand up, unplug their arcade stick, and walk away. No handshake, no acknowledgement, nothing. I think that's wrong.
I'm not even talking after the match. I'm talking before the match, like getting ready, like, hey, you know, good luck, you know, throw the hand up. And then there were just people that were just like, I ain't even looking at you. Like, you don't even exist. I'm in my silo of life right now. Like, don't
even
touch
me. So not me. I mean, I know I'm not a competitive gamer, but I mean, if I was, I would, you know, still be just as courteous to everyone around me as I would to my opponents. But that's just my personality. Now, that said, when these people take these things to the next level and spend hours upon hours training in their house to be the best, I can understand how they'd want to like narrow their field, put on the horse blinders, if you will, and just concentrate on the game. But I think when you're trying to improve the sport overall, which I think should be like the goal of any gaming athlete, is you need to better the sport by bettering yourself. So if you're being live streamed on television or Twitch or whatever, you need to show, you know, respect to your opponent and vice versa. Because, you know, that's just something that's universally accepted in the sporting world on all sides, you know, because we demonize, you know, professional athletes that, you know, are, you know, straight up are dicks, really. We don't like that. So I think, we gamers shouldn't be held to a different standard because, you know, we're new and different and we're young and rash and, you know, ambitious. No, I don't think that means anything, because, I mean, you have young kids out of college in every professional sport that, you know, learn what sportsmanship is. And no, I think, Pete, that gamers, especially competitive gamers moving forward, need to have that sportsmanlike conduct, because again, that makes us all look good. It makes us all feel good and proud to, you know, hold up on the Pantheon and say, hey, look, this is the best fighting game tournament in the world. And, you know, it's not in Japan. It's not in Europe. It's in America. And we should be proud of that. And we should help, you know, elevate ourselves and, you know, not be the American you know, a-holes we can sometimes be known for. You know, we don't want to give that impression to the rest of the world, especially when, you know, especially Japanese players are usually very courteous and nice. In my experience, European players are as well. And of course, there's bad eggs everywhere. Don't get me wrong. But you know, because we are the ones hosting it, we should be the ones taking the extra step, you know, to set that example of like, hey, look, you know, we are legit competition. We are legit athletes and we should treat each other with respect. Well, that's just even
at the and even at the end of it, after all the ridicule, you know, he's gotten before and after the whole thing. I mean, yes, he did have a smile. He does have a smile on his face when he puts his head down because he realizes his mistake. But then, you know, the whole emotion, the whole thing gets, you know, gets to him. But even after all of that and all of the hooting and hollering by the winner and, you know, Ishiga's sitting there, you know, with his head in his lap at the end, you still see them shake hands and formally be like, yo, good game. So
yeah.
Even after all of that, even after the hoot and holler, the jump in and everything, the premature celebration, and then the other guy coming in and winning, at the end of the day, they were still cordial to each other, professional, you know, gave each other a handshake and a good game.
And that's what you should.
That's all we should be like this. At the end of the day, I mean, this is just human beings interacting with other human beings. Be human.
Yeah, nothing wrong with celebrating when you score a touchdown in the end zone. We love that kind of stuff. You know, I wish college football would get on the ball with that NCAA. I think it's that is part of gaming is the hype, and you know, that should be a part of. You know, I'm take a stand here, man. I think
throwing shade.
UGA has lost way too many goals to that crap, man. I hate that, you know. But that's a whole other beef for a sports podcast that we ain't that. So let's keep the gaming train moving.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, well, we got enough shade going on right now. We're just going to keep going. Yeah. Danny, let's talk about this next one.
Yeah.
Why can't Microsoft get away from all this bad publicity with the console, with the 360 and the red light and all that stuff? Why can't we get away with that?
Can you mention what's going on behind the scenes? Because this is like years ago that this happened and now finally is going through. But can you mention it real quick?
So, all right. So basically, even after the launch of the 360, Microsoft, like 50,000 complaints of the red, you know, the red ring of death and disk drive issues. And I mean, I was plagued by two of those.
The disk getting scratched because of the position. I mean, that was the one that they got sued for.
Right. So we're talking what? 2000, we're talking like 8 years now, eight, nine years later after the consoles, you know, it's still in the wild. You can still say, I look to my right and I got an Xbox 360 right there. But there's still litigation in the Supreme Court, in the United States Circuit Court of Appeals, with people complaining about it. So what can we do about this? Does Microsoft finally just say, look, we're just going to get rid of it so people can't have those problems anymore?
No, well, what they said is that this happens because the user are the ones that are moving the console while it's on, and while the disc is spinning, and that will make the disc get scratched. Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying, Microsoft. Now, here's the thing. Maybe some people just, because, you know, not everybody goes online and forums on Twitter. They're just regular gamers, you know. Just,
right, but we're talking a small percentage of people.
Very small.
When you compare them to the large quantity how many total consoles are we talking about here?
It was a lot of consoles.
100 million Xbox 360 consoles, possibly?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the numbers.
I don't know. But I'm throwing an arbitrary number out there. But we're talking less than 1% total.
Yeah. Now, here, there's some that didn't know about this. So, yeah, they were moving their console while it was on. And some people might have just took advantage of this for them to make an excuse. Like, okay, let me sue it or whatever. You know how people are. Like, now, the thing is, at the same time, Microsoft didn't really promote this as much. And I think they should have promoted this a lot, that not to move the console while it was on. Because I remember so many people were having issues about this, you know. But what they did was, if you had a complaint and you call their customer support, they'll send you a free game because of that too. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know whose fault is this.
I exaggerated by a little bit. It's not 100 million consoles. It was just under 85 million consoles. So
yeah, you're close.
You're close.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things,
I got to jump in on this. I kind of feel like Microsoft. Of course, they knew about this. The problem is how do they go about addressing it? Because for me, it's like it's the double-edged sword of one side of it is, yeah, it's your fault. You should kind of know not to move the console while it's on. And the other thing is, hey, sometimes, you know, stuff happens. Your cat jumps on your system. Your dog pulls the system off accidentally. Like, things do happen, and it does destroy disk. And, you know, in my previous experience with, you know, retail, a lot of people would come back with this issue and say, hey, my disk is destroyed. And I'm like, oh, is it the ring? They're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, there's nothing we can do about that because that's, as Microsoft says, it's user error. It's just something. It's unfortunate. What I hated initially is how the fact that they used to present the Xbox 360 as something that should be standing up because of the hourglass figure it had. That's how they wanted to present it. And I think that was a mistake because if you stood your 360 up, the likelihood that thing was going to fall over and kill your disc was so, so high that it blew my mind even back then to be like, why is Microsoft marketing it like this? No one should need to stand the console up or you're going to be sorry. Like, it's going, nothing bad's going to happen. Simple as that. It's just not designed to stand up like that for long periods of time.
And what I noticed was when the new version came out, not the Elite, after the Elite, you know, the ones
the
that's
smaller,
like really
slim one, yeah.
The smaller one, that's when they started promoting have your console
laying down
instead of standing up.
Too little, too late.
And it was just, man. So they messed up in that
one. It's tough. The only thing I can say to people, and this is what I told them back in the day, is like the best way you can stop this is install your game to your 360's hard drive. If you do that, even if you flip the system over, the disc will never be destroyed enough by the system to not recognize what it is. And if you've installed the content, it spins enough to tell, yes, this is a real disc, it's not pirated, and the rest of the information is pulled from your hard drive. And you can play any game. But obviously, you have to install it before you destroy the disc. So for some people, that didn't fix anything, but at least there was protection against it.
Here's the part that I kind of disagree with you about installing the game. Not everybody had the 50, 100 gigs, whatever.
Oh, no.
A lot of people had a 20 gig.
I totally understand
that. So they couldn't really install it.
A lot of people I told that to, this is the first time they heard that. Like, I was speaking a foreign language to them, and I had to, like, the same thing when I used to have to explain to people because they complained that 360 would freeze or Oblivion would freeze or whatever, any open world game. I'm like, well, do you know how to clear your cache or your 360? And they're like, what did you just call me? And I'm like, oh, great. I'm like, there's an option. You can highlight your hard drive and you can clear the system cache, and that will smooth everything out and get rid of all that junk that's built up on your virtual memory. And they didn't know about that. And that was another thing that saved people a lot of problems. So again, I wish Microsoft had gone out of their way. I don't care if they had to put this in a TV commercial for the system. They needed to let people know about these features because they were useful and they would have saved people headaches.
It wouldn't work, Patrick. It wouldn't work. Because look, you got to think about it. That's the thing. If you're going to release a product, people shouldn't be doing that.
But
they should have been doing that at the end of the day. That's unfair. That's unfair.
But if you're a Windows user, you already know these things. And I'm not trying to throw shade at Apple people, but like, you should know basic format and maintenance of your product, specifically hard drives. And I know maybe that is asking too much, but like,
I just disagree. I feel that
it's a useful feature.
Any company, doesn't matter if it's Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, I don't care who it is, if they release a product, people shouldn't be doing that, going back and doing that. Make it easier for the consumer instead of making it. But Patrick, to you, because you know, but the average person that doesn't read forums, doesn't go online, that they should have been going through that. That's unfair. You don't see that at all. You think that everybody are going to know the same exact thing that you guys do behind the
scenes. Here's my take. I think everybody that purchases a video game console knows how to use Google. And if they're like, why is my system freezing, Google? One of the pop's answers would probably be clear the system cache. Or, you know, why won't my disc play? And it's like, did you try installing it? I mean, these are things I have had to Google for people before, and usually they're the top results. And again, I see your point of view, Danny. I may be a little bit too strong in my argument for this just because, you know, this is the way I see things, but I can totally understand somebody like who buys this for their kid on Christmas and the kid opens it up and all this terrible stuff happens. I totally understand that stuff like that. I just want people to know the tools were there. You just had to do a little bit of digging or research to find them. But there were useful tools to help you. But again, we've strayed off too far off topic. But back to this whole alleged, you know, complaints. You know, Microsoft said 55,000 complaints have come against them. Again, they say it's a user error thing. Both sides are in the wrong here. It's really, again, it's like Pete said, there's really nothing you can do about this. It's kind of just, you know, take what you learned, move forward, make sure it doesn't happen with your future consoles. Or, you know, redesign the system again if you have to, because I feel like the 360 still has so much life left in it, like the PS2 did. You could still redesign it one more time, fix all of that crap that's wrong with it, and then it will still make money, because the games library, in my opinion, is one of the best of all time.
Oh, yeah.
That's just my take.
Really good. Really, really good. All right, very quick. I know that during E3, Xbox announced that you could play Xbox 360 games on the Xbox One, which I think is amazing, pretty dope. Love that, because there's a lot of games that I missed it because the new console came out, the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I'm like, I'm not gonna go back, you know.
But there's a caveat
there, because you have to wait until
the developer enables because of licensing or whatever, that
third party games. Now first party games, they're right. Good. Yeah.
So what are the games that you wish could be backwards compatible? And while they may or may not be on the horizon, what are some games that you would like to see?
I would love to play Mass Effect, the trilogy. I know Mass Effect 1 is available now. You could play it. But I would like to play 2 and 3 again. I would like to do that. And I also would like to check out the last South Park game that came out for the 360.
Oh yeah, Stick of Truth.
One is pretty good. And maybe some. I know Gears of War 3 right now is a free game now for Xbox Live Gold members. It's free. I would like to see that game because I like the story, the campaign, multiplayer, not so much, but the single player, I really like that game. Out of all three, so because I'm definitely gonna get the original Gears of War that's coming out for the Xbox One very, very soon, in a couple weeks. So, what about you guys? What you guys would like to play if you had the chance?
I think I'm gonna pull the Poston card.
Ooh, okay.
Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Ooh, good one. That's a pretty good game.
Everybody should play that game. Honestly, like, we all make fun of, like, the HD versions of last-gen games, but, like, come on, why is they have not made an HD version of Red Dead Redemption? Does it really take that much manpower? And if the answer is yes, then I pray to God they are, in fact, working on Red Dead Redemption 2, or whatever they want to call it, because that thing is amazing.
So let me ask you this, Pasta. If they do come out with a HD version, a remaster, or whatever, and or you could play the 360 version on your Xbox One, which one you would get?
Would
you buy the new one?
I would buy the new one as a show of support for saying, like, look, my $60 for the original game went so far. It gave me 200 hours of honestly some of the best video gaming I've ever done in my life. Like, that game was a flipping masterpiece all the way around, and I adored it. So really, yeah, I would pay more money for a new version, you know, better frame rate, you know, better resolution, some anti-aliasing here and there, make it look prettier. But only really if that's not pulling too much manpower from a future sequel. And again, that's something Rockstar keeps very, very well under guard. They're very good at keeping their properties under wraps, not leaking anything until they're damn well ready, which is great. I appreciate that. That's a good business mentality to have. But really, if they were looking for a test of the market to see if there's still an interest for Red Dead, obvious answer is hell yes, there is. And second is, do the HD version, I would say, because there's probably a lot of people that maybe didn't even know about the game, or if they did, they never really got a chance to fully experience it. So I think it could be successful on new consoles just because of the scale of the game. And again, I feel like a lot of people maybe kind of left it at the wayside, and a lot of people had an issue with how Mexico was portrayed in the game as a vast empty wasteland. I thought that was realistic personally. I liked it, but a lot of people got that far and were like, no, I'm done, I stopped. So hopefully people would come back, you know, and finish the game if they want. It's a good story, cool after the cutscenes content and all that good stuff.
Okay,
but yeah, but I guess if I had to pick a 360 game that I want to play now, I think it'd probably be Ninja Gaiden 2. Because I really like that game a lot. I still got my copy. I've kept it all these years. It's awesome that I've got Devil May Cry PS4 now and Xbox One with the new versions. I kind of wish Ninja Gaiden 2 would get that. But if not, I'm perfectly fine just having, you know, a backwards compatible version, because that game is damn fun. And, you know, I really hope they consider making a real Ninja Gaiden 4 for this gen consoles, because Ninja Gaiden's awesome. It just kind of fall into the wayside without Itagaki, so it needs new leadership, and I know it can get it from someone.
Well, I know that we all of us mentioned already a couple games, and here's an idea for EA, which I think will be great for them too. You know, they have EA Access. People been joining and getting free games there that have been released on Xbox One. Why not add some old 360 games there to the program? And there will be more games that is going to be part of the library for people to play for free if you are part of the EA Access. I think that will be great too for them to do that.
That's
you know,
a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's a nice shot at PlayStation Now as well. I mean, it's chipping away at some of their money. I think it's good to have competition, because that ends up having better prices for these types of services.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I think they should. Cool. I think they should, because Nintendo and Xbox are the only ones that have the old games that you could play on the new console. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know what PlayStation is going to be thinking, because not everybody wants to pay a certain amount of money just to have the game temporary. Like, that's not fair.
Oh, and they're exorbitant prices, too. Like, for what they charge you for 48 hours, you could just go buy a used copy of that game for the same amount of money. It's ridiculous. But I'm sure they'll figure it out. I'm sure they've looked at their numbers overall, and they'll make tweaks to it, because it's a good idea, but like you said, a lot of people are really attached to PS1 and PS2 games. They really need to be part of the...
I got a question.
All right, hurry up, Pete. We got to take a short break. Hurry up.
Okay, so why haven't we seen some kind of remaster or some kind of like Call of Duty collection on the new Xbox One or PlayStation 4?
They don't need to do that. They're making so much money with the regular ones, but
don't you think people want to play those too? Those aren't available. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think Black Ops 2 hit the number one list. They actually knocked off Red Dead Redemption from the top most requested game to be backwards compatible.
I think it's a fair point, Pete, but I got to side with Danny, just because of how the Call of Duty, the main fan base, views the product as something that they always get in November, play the bejesus out of for 6 to 8 months, rest a little bit, and then start over again.
You think it's more that they don't want to potentially jeopardize sales of the new console, of the new games, or the new consoles that they're working on?
Because I feel if they gave us back Call of Duty 4 and Modern Warfare 2 and Black Ops 1 online again, I think that would steal a little bit of the sales from Black Ops 3, just because people could have these amazing experiences they remember back in the day right in front of them, versus, you know, $60 on, you know, Black Ops 3, which, again, it's a Treyarch game. I played the multiplayer personally. I think it's great from what I played, but we'll have to wait and see. And clearly Treyarch knows how to make a good Call of Duty game, but I think it would hurt them financially, Pete, just because they bank so much on people always knowing that they're going to get a new Call of Duty, you know, the first or second Tuesday of every November, and that's just something to get excited. It's like a holiday for them, essentially. Kind of like in Japan when the new Dragon Quest comes out, no one goes to work that day. They all go home and play the new Dragon Quest. That's kind of what Call of Duty is in the United States here.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short break, guys, and once we come back, we have a couple more topics, and yes, fan mail. So we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
DraftKings.com, everybody. Baseball is in full swing, and you can be a part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com, which is the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash and instant gratification. Why would you wait to the end of the season to get paid when you can win huge prizes every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just pick two pitchers, pick eight position players, and pick your cash. That's it. Ask Pete. Pete, DraftKings.
Love it.
You love it. Why do you love it?
It's easy. Most of the time, you got to wait to the end of the season, and you don't have to deal with any of that. You don't have to deal with, you know, a two-hour draft or any of that. No, it's pick it that day. You win money.
So if you're listening to this, use our promo code GAMERTAG, and you can go to DraftKings.com today and be a part of the $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That is DraftKings.com. It is the official partner of Major League Baseball. Enter that code GAMERTAG for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio episode 495. Remember, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it to listen to our past episodes or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Well, here's another game that supposedly there's a rumor that this might come out. And I'm not surprised if they do. The last Dead Island Definitive Edition for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Dead Island came out during last gen. Mm-hmm. Was pretty successful, but they're gonna might re-release this again for the new consoles. And the reason how this news came out was an African retailer listed this game that was coming out for the new consoles. What are your thoughts about this, guys?
Meh. Other than it's coming out on my birthday, I mean, I see no.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's so many games coming out around that time. Like, it's like, are people going to actually buy it or what?
Yeah, it's perfect opportunity.
Go ahead, Pete.
No, okay. I think it's a perfect opportunity for them to maybe push that off, because how do you drop that when you've got when you've got that crazy list of games coming out this holiday season between Halo 5 and everything else? How does one expect to just slip that one in and think it's actually going to get substantial sales?
I mean, let's be brutally honest here. It's not. It was a game that was successful because the idea was genius for the time, but the hardware severely limited what they could do with it. And I feel like Dying Light is what they wanted to do with it. So I would say anybody that's interested in this, just go play Dying Light, which I assume would be quite cheap come November 13th. It's just one of those like things I don't understand. Is like, where's the market for this? As you guys said, there's going to be a bejesus amount of games, a lot of shooters on top of that coming out in November. But yeah, if you're looking at Dead Island 2 coming next year anyways, like, why would you not just wait for that? Because there's so many other zombie games that are already available. Like Zombie Army Trilogy, if you want World War II zombies. Dying Light, if you want parkour zombies. I mean, Left 4 Dead 2 is still just as good as it used to be. I mean, I just don't see where the appeal for this is.
Well, here's the thing too that nobody else has mentioned. Usually, when companies remaster a game, they're not really putting a lot of money to work on that game at all, man. Like, the budget of that is like very, very low, and it's easier for them to port it and make it a little bit better for the new consoles and to release it. And you know, I'm not saying they're gonna sell millions, but they're gonna get more income even if the game is old, you know. So.
I don't know. I mean, like, the game never really got fixed. I mean, even with Riptide, it's kind of pseudo sequel. It was still the same engine with the same problems. So, I mean, I don't see them fixing any of the stuff that was wrong with it. So, I mean, if anything, I think it hurts their brand name. If you put this out, people are going, oh, I've never heard of Dead Island. That sounds interesting. And they play it and they're like, ah, this seems kind of dated and old. And then they're not going to be interested in Dead Island 2.
We haven't seen the game, so we don't know how it looks.
Oh, no, I'm not trying to diss them. I'm just saying my experience is playing through the entirety of Dead Island 1 and Dead Island Riptide. It was a very buggy, glitchy mess. A fun buggy, glitchy mess, but it was still buggy all the same. So I mean, again, unknown, I'd have to see it in motion, but I just would recommend anybody to take their money elsewhere, because I don't want them to get the wrong impression of Dead Island. because it's like it's like going to play. It's like people telling you Fallout 3 was such an amazing experience, and then you would go and play Fallout 3, which is a game that came out in 2008, and it feels like a game that came out in 2008. So it's dated as hell. You're not getting the same experience. I don't want people to be turned off by playing an outdated older version of an idea when there already is, in Dying Light, a perfection, in my opinion, of that idea that they can point toward and say, hey, look, this is what we wanted to do. Here's that game. So again, it's making sense to me.
For those listeners out there, do you agree with us or not? Like, let us know your opinion about this, and also the other topics. Go to like our Facebook page, Gamertag Radio, or hit us up on Twitter, Gamertag Radio, and I'll definitely will read it during. Well, I'm not going to be here for next week's show, but or email us. We'll talk about it. We'll see. All right, it's time for my favorite segment of the show, fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
All right, so we have two voicemails, and we have also a lot of emails. So let's, which one, guys, you want to start, voicemail or email?
I guess we'll start with the voicemail.
All right, so we're going to play the first one right about now.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is John Riley, and I had a question regarding the Naruto Storm 4 that's actually going to be coming out in September. No release date as of yet, but it seems like it's the only fighting game right now currently that has a 3D range of motion instead of a 2D forward and back side to side fighting thing. It seems like that's the popular genre that's going around, especially when it's highlighted as Evo. But do you believe that since it could be coming out and there is a lot of hype amongst fans, do you think that that actually stands a chance of actually becoming a professional gaming? I understand it's pretty easy to learn, but so is Smash Brothers, and that's actually featured at Evo and a lot of other competition around the U.S. Do you think it's an actual game that could be featured in a professional standpoint in regards to people who actually know how to play it well? And do you think it's actually possible for do you think that people on Twitch or YouTube are actually going to be playing this game who have never played it before, i.e. professional gamers like Man vs. Game or even DJ Weeks or anybody who's a fan, like maybe even Wong, Street Fighter aficionado. So, all right, guys, thank you very much for taking my call. All right, have a great show. Bye.
Pawson, this is all you, all about fighting games. So you would like to answer that question?
Okay, yeah. Full disclosure, while I used to be a gigantic Naruto fan, I totally fell out of it in the last couple of years. So I don't want to start speaking on something that I know I'm a little ignorant on. But what he was talking about is the new Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4, which besides being a mouthful, is the new fighting game coming out from Cyber Connect 2. They're well known for making these Naruto Shippuden fighting games. Obviously, it's the fourth one in the series. But his point was saying is like, third-person one-versus-one fighting games are kind of a rarity in the competitive scene at this point, because the focus is so heavily on two dimensions, on the Street Fighters, on the Tekkens, and on, you know, the Smash Brothers idea of two-dimensional gameplay. The problem I see with what he's saying of trying to have Ultimate Ninja Storm 4 competitive is not only a lack of exposure, because a lot of people have the issue of if they don't like the fan base, they automatically don't like the product. And I know I'm certainly guilty of this for a couple of pretty well-known IPs back in the day. But a lot of people were turned off by Naruto by the fan base over the years because it's been around for a long time. But the fighting games are solid. And unfortunately, I haven't played a Ninja Storm game since the second one, so I've missed the last one. I kind of would like to check out this one just because it's cool to see they're still making it and there's still a popularity and a drive behind them. But what I play, they are pretty deep, complex games in terms of, because it's one versus one, you can move in 3D space. You have the ability to use all of your, you know, your ninja arts, your items, your summoning spells, your tag team partners you can summon. And there's a lot of stuff to remember and do on a fly, or you get beat down. So I could see it being competitive, but my issue with it is, will it have enough exposure and a large enough reach to get to that level? Because, I mean, it's visually, it's very pleasing to the eye. It looks like an episode of the anime. It's beautifully drawn and animated. I just don't know if there's enough people competitive that would want to play it on that level. And even if they did, is there enough money and interest there to drive them to get them to that level? But again, I'd love to be proven wrong. I'd love for this game to come out and have a nice big following and grows from there. Because I do think there is a place in Evo for three-dimensional fighting games. You know, they don't need to be seen as a novelty. They offer something completely different than 2D fighting games are and have a whole different metagame on top of that. So for me, I'm not very good at them. I fully admit that, but I appreciate the skill people can put into them to do the crazy stuff. Because seriously, when you get two good players playing these games, it looks like you're watching a fight from the show.
Amazing, amazing!
It's crazy. It's funny because
I was watching Evo with my girl, and she was even hyped. And she doesn't really, she's not like a hardcore gamer, mm-hmm. but she got excited. It's pretty cool, man.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So we have more questions here, right? So, all right, so I have one here. This is from Kevin from Ohio. Shout out to him. Hey, GTR crew. What are your thoughts on Square Enix announcing The Rise of Tomb Raider will be coming to PC in early 2016 and PlayStation 4 in holiday 2016? It seems strange to announce this information 3 to 4 months before the Xbox One and Xbox 360 versions are even released. Well, here's the thing. They are, like, especially Microsoft, they're really pushing this title. Like, when we went to E3, dude, they had Tomb Raider stuff everywhere during parties, at the booth, videos. They were pushing this game hardcore, and the thing is that if you think about it, there's no other game that type of style that's coming out for this year in 2015. Originally, it was going to be that game and Uncharted 4 to compete during the holidays, but Uncharted 4 got delayed. This is an opportunity for Microsoft to promote the game. Is it strange for them to announce that? No, they're trying to hype it up. Before, they were promoting this as a temporary exclusive game during the holidays. No, now the opportunity now to promote this as a year exclusive game, only available for Xbox One and Xbox 360. So I don't see nothing wrong with that. Every other company has done it in the past. There's nothing wrong with that. At the same time, it builds competition and it's better for us consumers because now we have choices. Hey, you don't want to buy an Xbox One, you have a 360, buy the 360 version. If you want, you could wait to early 2016 and buy the PC.
If you think about it, it's still a Windows exclusive. It's still a Microsoft exclusive. It's just playing on Windows via Steam.
Yeah, or PlayStation 4, you could wait till 2016.
Right. It's the 1 year. It's a 1 year timed exclusive.
Yeah.
Just like Titanfall was the year prior. And it's just,
well, that game is exclusive for Xbox. Now, Titanfall 2 is not going to be exclusive. That's gonna
right.
Be full.
That's what I'm saying. It's just a timed exclusive. Eventually, it will get opened up, to other Microsoft type of products. So
yeah,
if you
think about it, guys, the more I know a lot of people don't like this when companies take advantage of this, but at the same time, it builds competition and it's better for the industry because now you have choices. Once people are investing money on games, on consoles, on whatever thing you want, it helps the industry and it will create more jobs and it will create more competition. And now Sony has the new Street Fighter, only available for PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. I see that as competition. Now Xbox, what are you guys going to do? Nintendo, what are you guys going to do? You know what I'm saying? So I find that exciting when I see that, when a company does that.
No, I think I appreciate it too. Especially if I was like a PlayStation 4 only gamer, because I imagine there's a lot of them that are on the fence of, does the exclusivity mean just November and December and then maybe it comes out in spring? I like that they clarified, no, it's going to be a year. It's going to come out next holiday. So you have no false hopes that you may get it sometime in the near future. It makes the choice easier. And specifically, if you have Uncharted 4 in the spring on top of Street Fighter 5, which is probably in the spring as well, that's a strong lineup on Sony's part right there. And that doesn't need... And I feel... it'd be nice if they had a more definitive holiday this year release, but knowing those two games are waiting in the wings of spring, I'm not too upset, because again, I have an Xbox One as well. I'm looking forward to playing Halo and Forza and Tomb Raider and all that good stuff. And again, if you're a PC gamer, you're still only a couple months out of the loop. I mean, you get the best version technically, so it's a win for you. So I mean, yeah, no one should be upset by this. Everybody's gonna get a chance to play the new Tomb Raider. It's just, how long do you have to wait for it? And again, if you're a PlayStation 4 gamer, you have a lot of games to play between now and holiday 2016.
All right, Pete, your turn. You want to read an email?
Okay, so this is coming from all the way from Poland.
Ooh, okay. Shout to Poland.
Jaroslaw Yama. I'm hoping I'm saying your name correct and I'm not like butchering it. First off, we did have a female co-host on the show. Unfortunately for some, fortunately for her, Mandy left GTR to go work for Gameloft. So she's doing a phenomenal job out there in the wild, dream job working in the gaming industry. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do not have a female co-host, but you know, shout out to her. Shout out to you for thinking about it. Game of the year so far question.
Wait, what was the question?
I just got to it. If you let someone, just because Paris isn't here doesn't mean you got to interrupt people.
Oh God.
Christ. All right. So first question, game of the year so far, I'm going to say Witcher 3.
I will go Witcher 3, close second, Ori in the Blind Forest.
That's a good one. Jesus.
Yeah. Very close. Very close. But
I can't say Witcher. I can't say Destiny, so I have to say Witcher 3.
No. Destiny is a last year game. It's not a new game. It's not a new game. Now, here's the thing. I love Batman, but I still think that The Witcher has been a better game overall, in my opinion.
Yeah, like I'm sitting there trying to think of something I enjoyed more than The Witcher overall, but it's kind of just like me playing devil's advocate for myself and being like, well, you don't have to pick The Witcher, but I mean, yeah, I kind of do. I've never really had, I think from a large perspective, the game is fun, but I think when it came down to the writing, the script, the voice actors, and how the dialogue was presented, there were a lot of moments in that game that either made me feel uncomfortable, regretted a decision, or just straight up made me like just feel really bad that I did that to somebody. And I don't think I've ever really played a game that had that emotional impact, which is weird because I didn't even play the first two Witchers. But like, no, I didn't. No, definitely didn't cry because I've been playing the game as a complete asshat. So I do it intentionally because like, oh, I don't know his backstory and make my own backstory. He's just, you know, a giant ass to people. And then you see the repercussions. You're like, wow, those were kind of almost real people, the real feelings. And I kind of feel bad. But yeah, I love what the game does. It's beautiful. And again, props to CD Projekt Red for patching the crap out of it. I mean, I love that I went from a hiatus and I go up three versions of the game and then you get a 2 gig update and like 5 free pieces of DLC. I mean, that's awesome. So props to them. I can't wait to see the new expansions later this year.
And you got 30 hours of DLC coming in if you get the season.
Right?
30 hours. We're talking 3 games worth of content.
Yeah.
For 20, all 25 right. bucks, I believe was the final price. And then second question, Rainbow Six Siege, on which console are you buying it and will you play with listeners?
I will play with listeners, and I don't have a PC, so you could play with Pete or Paris.
Well, I've already said I'm buying it on Xbox One because most of the people that I play online with in shooter type games.
I thought you were debating which one to get.
Well, we had this conversation like a while ago.
Yeah, we did. Was it last week?
We did. And if it's multiplayer based, I will likely play it. There's a 98.6% chance that I'm going to play it on Xbox One simply because multiplayer situations, I play with my friends on multiplayer on Xbox One.
And not only that,
single player campaign situation, like Witcher 3, I'll go on PC.
And also you could get the beta for this. And if you buy the Xbox One version, you could also download the older Rainbow Six games for
free. That's
correct. Yeah. So, I'll go with Xbox One.
Yeah, Xbox One for me too. Like, love that controller. And again, love playing with you guys. So again, it's like someone said I think it was on Reddit, but they were like complaining about Black Ops 3. And the guy's point was like, it doesn't matter. You're going to pick the console where all your friends are. And that's the truth. But that's the most fun play.
The Division beta is coming out for this game, for Rainbow Six, I believe, right? That's where you could download the beta to there?
I think it is.
Seems like an obvious Ubisoft.
I mean, it's an Ubisoft Tom Clancy type tie-in, so I could see that possibly.
I think they did announce that on E3.
But the beta is if you sign up and you pre-order the game, you get the beta.
Pete, can you read the one with the one that Glenn sent? I know he only sent it to us, so I don't know why he only sent it to us and not the crew.
Glenn. Oh, this is the guy from Jacksonville in Japan. Okay, Jacksonville, Japan. Yes, I just
said Jacksonville, Japan.
No, he's originally from Jacksonville, Florida, but he's stationed overseas. Salute. Thanks for that. He's still disappointed that Halo 5 will have no local multiplayer. This is one of those series that he had time to play between the contractors and soldiers out here, but the crappy internet in a war zone isn't going to allow online multiplayer or the ability to download any patches. I'm actually going to argue that because we had a buddy of ours that was deployed in Afghanistan. He used to play Connect with his Xbox 360 on Call of Duty via his Sprint connection.
Oh, Sprint?
Yes.
In
Afghanistan, like he had like a hotspot. He would set up his phone as a hotspot and connect. Yeah, he would. He was jumping around all over the map. And, you know, a lot of times he did better because he had like a really bad ping. But we played. He actually did clan matches with us. His name is Josh. So shout out to Sapper one time.
Yeah. But Pete, that's the old Halo. This is a little bit different. New console. It might get more bandwidth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can understand where he's coming from too, man.
I don't know. It's all based on network code and whether it can handle it. He's going to have a bad enough ping that it's not going to let him connect. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of variables in there. All I'm going to say is, I don't know, get to become really, really good friends with your IT guy out there. Actually, I work with one of our systems engineers at my job, used to be in the Marines, and you'd be surprised what you could do. So just...
I feel your pain, man.
With your IT guy and, you know, buy him some beers and, you know, who knows? Maybe your internet will get better.
Yeah, I feel his pain. I know where he's coming from.
Oh, no, I can totally understand why.
I tell you this, guys, change is tough. It's hard. Some people don't like it. Some people don't care. Some people do like it. So it's like, I don't know. It's hard to choose. Like, do I agree that for Microsoft to remove that? No. But there might be a reason why they're doing that. So I trust them because that's their product. We'll see what happens. And once I see it and I play it, and if I'm not happy about it, I'll talk about it on the show. You know? So
you just can't play with your friends.
It's the same thing. Remember when they announced the Xbox One back then and they were planning to do this whole family share and all this stuff? I love the idea. There was a lot of people that didn't like that at all, man. They didn't like that and they made the change. So is it going to be too late for a 343 to make those changes?
I hope not.
I think so.
I really hope it's something they can patch out.
If they patch it, it'll be cool.
This is a bigger dagger in the heart than they realize. I don't think the scale of this issue is going to hit them until launch day happens. And the majority of people that play Halo that never go on the internet to talk about gaming are going to think it's going to have split stream until they get home, start playing, and be like, why can't my buddy play with me? And they're going to return to the store. And we're going to be talking about this, how it's this big backlash against all the retailers. I'm calling it now, man. People are going to be pissed about this.
Now, here's the thing. There's something that probably we don't know. Maybe they've done some research behind the scenes to see how many people play online, how many people play split screen. Maybe not that many people worked on that. I mean, not worked on it. Play the game on a split screen. We don't know.
I don't know the numbers data, but I can just tell you all the nostalgia. The people that I talked to about Halo has always been about the split screen cooperative campaign. And that's what makes the game fun, because a lot of people don't like playing Halo by itself because it's kind of a really hard game on the hard difficulty settings, or it's kind of really stupidly easy on easy settings. So the perfect for me was Legendary with two people. That was really, really
locally. All right, so let me ask you this, Patrick. The last game, do you actually play it locally split screen? Be honest.
The last one?
Yes.
God, they keep taking him out of games.
Or Pete, have you? Or you just play it online?
What, play Halo?
Yeah, the last Halo, locally or online.
I don't remember playing it. I think I played it with my son, but they were talking like 3-4 years ago. I don't remember the game. I don't remember what happened at all. Like if I played the game right now, it would be like playing a brand new game.
I did it for the first two Halos. I was playing locally with my brother. But 3 and up, I was just playing that online. I was not playing split screen.
Oh, if we're talking about Halo, then I have played dozens upon dozens of hours of split screen cooperative campaign on all of the Halos. And specifically,
Halo, I'm talking about the last Halo. Did you play it locally?
Which one do you consider the last one? 4 or Reach?
Halo 4.
No, because I hated it. But I have played it since then because I own it with Master Chief Collection. So I have beaten the game a second time because I tried to give it a chance to see, you know, if it was just rage blinding me. So I played the game a second time. I still did not like it. But it was more fun with the second person next to me, because that's to me is what makes Halo really fun, is the two player, you know, laughing and having a good time part of it. And you leave the frustrating online alone.
I'm just asking because maybe they did research for them. Like, should we put our money and our energy on that, or just keep on working on the single player and online part of the game to make it even better and forget about? Because look, there's going to be parts that they're going to take sacrifices and be like, oh, let's remove that. Let's add this, something new. You know, there's going to be good and bad on both sides.
Yeah, you know? I see that. But the fact that they've already come out and made the statement that say, oh, we can't do split screen because 60 FPS is integral to our campaign experience. Like they said, if it's not 60 FPS, it's not the Halo game they designed, and that somehow breaks it. And I just think that is baloney. I'm sorry.
But you don't know. You're not a programmer. No, let's move on.
I know I'm not a programmer, but it just they would really have to come out with some detailed 10-minute video explaining why they physically cannot do this to make me appease, because that statement just made me more enraged. It's like, my God, do they not understand how big of a deal this is? And I really don't think they will until a game comes out.
All right, so let's move on. Let's move on. All right, so Pete, we're going to play this voicemail right now. And this is about what? The second?
This is about streaming Windows 10 games.
Oh, this is for you, Pete. All right, so we're going to play this voicemail one more time.
What's up, Gamertag Radio? How you guys doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. Just had a very quick question for you guys. I just found out today that, well, today is the 19th, but I just found out today that Windows 10 is actually available for the Xbox One to actually be able to stream it. Now, I'm not sure if you guys actually got the early access. I think Paris said he had it. So my question to you guys is, if you have or haven't, I don't know yet, have you guys tried it out yet to see how it works? And if you have, what would be your first impressions? Thank you very much for everything that you guys do. It's always appreciated, and I always look forward to listening to your show. It definitely makes my Mondays just that much better. You guys take care. Bye-bye.
Pete, so have you tried the Windows 10?
No, I haven't. I'm still waiting. I've got, was it 6 more days? I'm just like everybody else. I do not have Windows 10 yet, so I'm just like the regular public, even though I'm in the, you know,
hopefully next week
I do not have Windows 10 yet.
Well, it's coming out next week, so we could, you know, talk about it. And I think Pat has been testing out the beta of Windows 10,
right?
He's got
the developer preview, which will, and similar to the way that Mac has been doing their updates lately, even though they give you the beta, when it comes time to go live, it'll, you know, they just give you the remaining bits to make it the full retail version.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go and redo everything like we used to have to do in the past. But what Keon wants to know is about streaming Windows 10 games to the Xbox. So right now, if you have the developer preview or you've somehow managed to get your hands on Windows 10, you can stream from your Xbox One using the Xbox app to your Windows 10 game or to your Windows 10 device, whether that's a tablet, a Surface tablet or a laptop running Windows 10 or your desktop running 10 over your local internet. You can't do this, you know, across what's called the WAN or across the internet to another location. The only way you could possibly do it is maybe if you have a VPN going, but we're talking high tech here. That's a lot. That's probably more than what the typical, you know, the regular Joe or Jane would do.
Yeah.
So figure if you've got an Xbox One and you've got a Windows 10 device, I believe smartphones are qualified as well. I don't know why you would want to do that, because you know, I'd rather play on a 60-inch than a six inch, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you've got a Windows 10 device inside your local network at home or at work, if you're lucky enough to do that, you can connect to the wireless network. You can play your Xbox, you know, over your inside network. It's that easy.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to episode 495. This was a pretty good episode, right? It was fun.
No, it was horrible. Why do you say that?
Yeah, Pete didn't like it. He's like, I'm dropping a mic. I'm out of here. I give up. But I love the conversation that we have. you know, once we have like a couple topics, and especially when we get emails or voicemails from the listeners, that will also help us to make the show longer, and conversation is pretty good, you know. So please, 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 please send us voicemails, emails with questions for the crew, for us to have like a, you know, a longer conversation during a half, second half of the show and stuff. So head over to GamertagRadio.com or play that it. Listen to our past episodes or share it with your friends. Make sure to subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or if you have the new Spotify update, which also they added podcasts there, you can follow us there too. So give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR, or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. This week, I'm getting my award. This is dedicated to you guys. Thank you for supporting me and supporting GTR since day one. And Pete, Patrick, would you like to say something before we wrap it up?
I'm just so proud of you, Danny. No, but seriously.
Patrick, this is for you.
Yeah, it's okay. Hold on. But no, dude, this is so awesome. I can't wait to follow and, you know, hopefully see whatever. Are they going to live stream this at all? There's something I have to...
No, live stream. They're going to plan to record it.
Record it? Okay,
and
I want to see it after.
And they're going to post it. Now, oh my God, I forgot to mention this. Thank God you reminded me of this. So look, my thing is that I would like to do, and I'm promoting it here and there on Facebook and on Twitter. I would like to invite our listeners that live around that area in Fort Worth, Texas, to attend the awards. We're going to have a little meetup 30 minutes before the red carpet begins. And I would like to walk with our listeners because I feel that you guys been there since day one. I want you guys to be part of the journey and just go with me to the awards. And it's free. You guys don't have to pay anything. And yeah, I want to be there with the listeners. Like, I feel that's very, very important to me, you know? So if you want more information about that, if any of you would like to attend with me, email me at Godfrey@gamertagradio.com. I'll give you all the details and where we're going to meet up and everything, so you could attend the awards. And at the same time, you meet other podcasters there that is not part of gaming. It's just like about everything tech and, you know, everything. So it's going to be cool. So, Pete, anything else, Pete?
Nah, man. Just go get that trophy or two.
Or two, yeah. Hey, we'll see about the second one. That would be really random if that happens. So, oh, by the way, we've been working really, really hard behind the scenes. And yes, we booked our special guest for our 500th episode. Not going to say who it is, but I'm very excited about this. So stay tuned. It's going to happen. Sometime next month, between next month and September around there. So stay tuned. All right, until next week. By the way, we didn't mention this person's name throughout the whole episode. Paris, I hope you're having fun on your vacation. 4-3. Okay? Take care, Mr. Lily. We out. Until next week. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.